We'll continue the study of Easter Sunday. And tonight's message is Jesus is in the house. Amen. Jesus is in the house. He's here tonight. Where two or three are gathered in His name, He's in the midst. And I hope you came here tonight looking for Jesus, because He's here tonight. We're going to be looking at John chapter 20, verses 19 through 22. And as we started off this morning, what a day this has been 2,000 years ago. We started out with women at the empty tomb looking for a body that was not there. He is not here, for He is risen as He said. Come and see the place where the Lord hath laid. So we know that He's not there. And the women were amazed about that. There were people that didn't want to hear that message. They didn't want to hear that message at all. It turned their world upside down. And folks, that's what the church is supposed to do. We're supposed to make a difference in this world. Well, we know other parts of the Easter story that Peter and John go down and they go into the empty tomb. They look inside and they can't find anything except the grave clothes there and the napkin that covered the face folded up. And they go back to where they came from. And they're having things and they're pondering things in their heart. In another gospel, we see that Mary Magdalene sees Jesus. You know, Jesus will be seen by those who are looking. And that is the true statement about that one. And then we also know that Cleophas and another disciple see Jesus on the road to Emmaus. So Jesus is appearing. You know, he's appearing. People are seeing. The word is getting around. But at the end of the day, after the encounter of Jesus on the road to Emmaus, it kind of gives us the impression that the last appearance in this day is when Christ appears to the 10. And we can look here in John chapter 20, verses 19 through 22. And it says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week. You know, it's not the Sabbath day, it's the Lord's day. It's the first day of the week. When the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Amen. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. You get the message here? After the angel revealed what had happened in the tomb, he said, go and tell the disciples. When Jesus comes to the disciples in the room, the upper room, he says, go, I'm sending you out. Folks, we're supposed to go. We're supposed to go. And when he has said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. See, there's four things I want us to look at tonight very quickly in this passage. We have a group of men that ran from the garden, weren't present at the cross. Some of them had seen this empty tomb and couldn't figure it out. You know, a lot of us, we need to see to what? To believe. And Christ knows that. Christ knows that when we have struggles of faith, and we do have struggles with faith, we do have struggles with problems, we do have struggles with fear. He knows that. And I want to give you this first point. Christ met them where they were. Christ will meet you where you are. Right. He knows exactly what you need. The psalmist in Psalm chapter 139, verses 7 through 13, ask a bunch of questions. and comes to this conclusion. He says, whether shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. We see these 10 up in this room. And there may have been more there, but the Bible doesn't talk about that. And they are looking for answers. They did not understand. The scriptures say that at this point they had not understood what Jesus meant. Yeah, he had told them, folks, it is our job to let the Holy Spirit teach us what Christ is talking about. And then we need to listen. We need to follow. We don't need to sit here and argue and try to reason it out. We just need to do some things by faith. We're supposed to walk by faith, not by sight. And so what do we see here? We see that God, Christ, has an infinite reach. His reach is to the very uttermost. The psalmist says, it doesn't matter where I am, there you are. It doesn't matter what problems I'm in, there you are. It doesn't matter how dark my life is, there you are. And you're always ready to help me. The disciples are in the room, and there he is. He's not here. He's in the room. He's not here. He's showing people that he did what he said he was going to do, and that he's God in the flesh. Oh, folks, we need to understand the reach of God. He can reach through this world today. When people say, we have these insurmountable problems, and they try to solve them. Why don't you try God out? Yeah. America, why don't we try God out? Right. Church, why don't we try God out? His reach is everywhere. You know why? Because he's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He knows where you are right now. So Christ met them where they were. We also see in this psalm, and we also see in the account here, Christ's resolve. His resolve. Folks, seek ye when it's near, finding he can be found. Okay, the issue is that if you want to find God, he'll make a way. He'll make a way. You know, Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 27 says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of what? All flesh, even the ones who reject him, he's still God. Doesn't matter what you say, doesn't matter what you try to deny, doesn't matter what you try to cover up, doesn't matter what you try to cancel, he is still God and he will always be that way. Amen. He said, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? And the answer is obviously no. Folks, if you have an issue, the first place you need to take your issue to, your problem to, your despair to, is God. Amen. Is God. I can't see. Start looking for him. Amen. Start praying to him. Start reading his word. Amen. Christ met them where they were. Secondly, Christ met them at their fear. Okay? Christ met them at their fear. You know, John was very blunt Why were they up in the room with the doors locked? For fear of the Jews. You know what? They just crucified Christ. They might be next. They might be next. We don't really know what's going on in their mind, but we do know that John gives us an account there that they were fearful of the Jews. You know how things kind of get out of hand? We've seen it on TV. People start doing something, it just gets out of hand, and it goes further than you ever thought. It's a realistic fear. Folks, we have real fear in our lives. There's a lot of things to be afraid of. But God knows that. God knows that. He meets you where you are, and He meets you at their fear. See, the real issue is why are we fearful? The same one who wrote this gospel wrote this statement. He says, perfect love casteth out all fear. And so the issue is, what's your relationship with God? You know, if you had a big brother, any fight, you had big brother to go take care of you. Folks, we have the God of the universe on our side. We're more than overcomers with Him. You know, oftentimes we get caught up in the moment and we forget what Christ has done in the past. We forget He's taken us through this part and He's we got another challenge. That's a test of faith, folks. And He says, will you try me? Taste me and see that the what? Taste and see that the Lord is what?
Good.
Blessed is the man that what? Trusteth in Him. You know, I wonder if any of them thought about that night that they were in the ship and the wind was blowing around and they were scared for their lives. And they came to Jesus and they said, Master, save us. In Mark chapter 4, verse 40, and He said unto them, why are ye so fearful? You know, we have examples of people in the Bible that had great faith. We have an entire chapter in Hebrews 11 that talks about that. Daniel went through all sorts of things. And basically, it comes down to an issue of faith. God's good enough for this problem, but He's probably not good enough for this one. Who are we to determine what God can and cannot do? He can do everything.
Amen. That's right.
And when you're saying, I'll let God take this problem, but I'm going to hold on to this, you have no faith. See, He wants all of you. You're not your own. You are bought with the price. He says, why are ye what? So fearful. And then He goes right to the heart of the matter. How is it that you have no faith? And we see over and over with the disciples, why is this happening? Why is this constantly coming back in your life? And that's a question I have tonight. Don't you have a problem that just seems to keep on coming back and coming back? You know, God may be trying to get your attention. God may say, why don't you try me out here? Let's not forget what Jesus Christ has done. Let's not forget today. Let's not forget the crucifixion. Let's not forget the manger. Let's not forget all the things that He did to prove that He was God in the flesh. Let's not forget those things. Let's not forget the things that He's brought us through. I'm sure everybody in here has a testimony how God delivered you out of a problem. That's history to you. And we cannot forget that. You know, often we forget what Jesus Christ has said. You know, as people are starting, Christ is getting more and more resistance in His ministry. He starts saying this. He says in Luke chapter 12, verse 32, we use this morning, fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now we have the advantage of hindsight. We have the advantage. We know the rest of the story. Those 10 in that room that night didn't know. You know, they had kind of forgotten about the storm where God said, we're going to get the other side. Where Christ said, we're going to get the other side. And it just kind of, See? We know that there's more to the story. But what about the now? You know, there's more to your life story. There's more to what God has. You've not retired yet. You retire when God takes you home. It is the Father's good pleasure to what? Give you the kingdom. And if He's going to give you the kingdom, He's going to give you the ability to live as if you're going there. And that in itself ought to assuage your fear. You know, Christ met them at their fear. Sometimes we're fearful because we forget that Christ has worked in the past and we don't think He can work in the now. We forget what He has told us. And then lastly, we may forget what Jesus Christ hath given. I strongly recommend as a church that you memorize this next verse. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says, for God hath not given us the spirit of what? Fear. But of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. Do you believe that?
Amen.
We need to. See, Christ meets us where we are. Christ meets us at the point of our fear. Because the issue is that if we can get past this, it took faith to do that. And that's what we need. We need our faith to be increased. So, Christ met them where they were. Secondly, Christ met them at their fear. Thirdly, Christ met them with tangible hope. What were they thinking while Caiaphas and Ananias are there saying, we got rid of Jesus. Well, Pilate said, I'm glad that's over. Think about what the disciples were doing in the 3 days. They had seen Christ taken. Peter had denied Him and saw the look from Christ at him. And he went out and he was brokenhearted. And then they saw the sky turn black. They felt the earthquake. They knew that what was going on. They were witnesses of that. And now it stops and Christ is in the tomb. What were they thinking? They probably had no hope. If what you were banking on went away, that tends to give you no hope. And so, Christ knew that. That's why Christ met them where they were. That's why Christ met them in their fear. And what did Christ do? He physically appeared to them. You know, we need to see Jesus. We need to see Jesus to kind of put them in perspective here. He says, look at this. He says in verse 20, he says, and when he had so said, he showed unto them what? His hands and his side. He said, I'm not a ghost. I'm the real deal. I'm in the house. And you need to understand that what I said was true. And look at the thing. It says, then were the what? The disciples glad when they what? Saw the Lord. Folks, when you see God, it ought to make you glad.
Amen.
Now, if you're living in sin and you know you're in the wrong way, and you're going the wrong way with the crowd, and then there's judgment coming. There's consequence coming. Okay? We need to see Jesus. You know, people have been looking forward to Jesus for centuries. when we got to Christmas and we were going through the Christmas story. There's the man Simeon. And what happened to him? He was promised by the Holy Spirit that he would see Jesus. And he gets older. Here's another day gone by. Here's another birthday. Here's another thing. He gets older. And you know, sometimes we kind of wear out and say, really, is it going to happen? And so when he sees Jesus, he proclaims this. He says, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Folks, when you see Jesus, who do you see? Do you see someone that gets you out of a physical pickle? Do you see someone who will give you everything that you want? That's not him. He gives salvation. And then we surrender to him. And then things fall in place according to his will. In Psalm chapter 69, verse 17, the psalmist writes, it says, "And hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily." You know, the one thing the disciples needed that night was the exact same, it was the exact thing that God gave them. They needed to see Jesus. They needed confirmation with their eyes that what their heart wanted to believe was true. And folks, we need to see Jesus too. We need to see him in order to understand his salvation, or understand that his face is important. And that should make us want to yearn to see him even more. See, Christ met them with tangible hope because seeing the resurrected Christ brings hope. Understanding you have Christ as your Savior should bring you hope. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed be God and be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." What does that mean? We send up praises to Him. We send up glory to Him. We send up thankfulness to Him. We send up all these things. Why? Why? "Which according to the abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a" what? "Lively hope." Amen. He is not here. He's risen. Amen. He's alive. Amen. We sang about that this morning and tonight and other services. We sing these songs and he's alive. Yeah. And folks, are we looking to him to be alive in our lives? Or are we just dead? It says, "Unto a lively hope by the" what? "By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." He's not here, for he is risen, as he said, that I may know him. Yes. And the power of his what? Resurrection. And the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Oh, folks. Christ gives us tangible hope. If you look for him, you will find him. Yes. He is here right now. He's in the house. We need to see Jesus. Seeing the resurrected Jesus brings hope. But not only did Christ meet them where they were, not only did Christ meet them at their fear, not only did Christ meet them with tangible hope, but Christ met them with tangible help. Something they could hold on to here. See, in this passage, Christ does two things for the ones in the room that night. He gave them his peace. He gave them his peace. It says here, now, once again, would have loved to have been the fly on the wall when they're all scared about the Jews and they turn around and there's Jesus. Folks, isn't that what we need to expect? We turn around, there's Jesus. Seeing Jesus should not be a surprise to you, because he knows his own and he wants to show himself strong. But what he says, it probably kind of rattled them a little bit. He says, "Peace be unto you." Down here in verse 21, it says, "Peace be unto you." Twice he says it. He really means it, folks. He wants to give you his peace. But unless you have a relationship with him, you don't have peace. You don't have peace. A couple of days before, in John 14, verse 27, he tells his disciples this. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." See, Christ met them. Christ told them before this was all going to happen. He says, "I want to send you peace. I'm going to give you hope. I'm going to give you help." And folks, when your mind's all rattled and your heart's in dismay, it's great to have something that's calming influence. It's great to know something you can count on. It's great to have someone that can give you peace. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." And then he goes on, he says, "I want you to understand my peace is different." He says, "Not as the what world giveth, give I unto you." And then goes on and says this, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be what? Afraid." Neither let it be afraid. See, Christ knew that they needed to see him that night. Christ knows your very need tonight. Are you willing to give it to him? Are you willing to accept his help? Are you willing to have hope in the situation? Nothing's too hard for him. So he met them with tangible help by giving his peace. He met them to tangible help by giving his spirit. Now there are some theological things in here, but he had promised the Holy Spirit. And the issue was, it says, "And he breathed on them," he says, "receive ye the Holy Ghost." Now, you know, at that time, Christ had not gone to heaven and stayed there. Therefore, the Comforter had not come. That comes at Pentecost. But see, Christ gave him a special gift that night.
Right.
Gave him a special gift. He says, "You followed me. You have faith in me. I'm going to give you something that no one else has." And he says, "You receive the Holy Ghost." And then you just kind of wait here in Jerusalem for a while. And then you're going to really see power. Remember what John the Baptist said about he'll baptize you with fire. That's coming. That's coming. But just so you can get through the time, I'm going to let you have this. The other time that this phrase is made is when Christ or God breathes into Adam and made him a living soul. See, in John chapter 6, verse 63, Christ says this. He says, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Folks, the words I've spoke to you tonight, Christ will meet you where you are. Christ will meet you at your fear. Christ will provide tangible hope that no matter how bad the situation looks, there's hope. And then Christ will give you tangible help. He gives us peace that passeth understanding. He gives us joy unspeakable and full of glory. He gives us everything exceeding abundantly above what? Above what we can ask or think. Oh, folks, tonight on Easter evening, let Christ meet you. Let's meet him. Let him provide what he's promised in his word for us. And let's be changed. Don't leave here tonight and say, "Well, tomorrow's another work day, and I'll just wait until the next Easter." Oh, no. Oh, no. Let's live for Him. Because He died for us. Amen. And rose again for us. Amen. Is Jesus in your house? Is Jesus in your house tonight? You can only answer that question. If you don't know Him as your Savior, He's not in your house, but He wants to be. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If they might hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. Is Christ knocking on your door tonight? Open up and let him in. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, it's just asked me this time of invitation. Father, help us, Lord, to help us to meet you where you are, Lord, because we know you're here tonight. Lord, help us to make you master of our house. Help us, Lord, to make you master of our church. Lord, I pray that our country make you master of our country. Lord, help us, Lord, to just do what you want us to do. And not be fearful, but to be faithful. We thank you and we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. Amen.